judge would send them to the center, and they would live in the center, and they would rehabilitate. They would learn how to live without drugs. Mm-hmm. Or they had medications, but, you know, mm-hmm. street drugs. So what was the question? I'm sorry.
I'm just going to introduce again, and then we can continue. So we are at the Liberal Arts Action Lab in downtown Hartford on October 20th, 2021. And we have here Carol Correa from Trinity. She works at Trinity College as the director of the Office of Multicultural Affairs and the DEI Office and the Multicultural Affairs Committee. She's been a longtime Frog Hollow resident, now lives in Manchester, but has deep roots in the Frog Hollow neighborhood and community work. And she created and developed a project called the Puerto Rican Heritage Trail, which we're going to ask questions about and learn more about. So just can you tell us about how the idea of the project developed and kind of like the inspiration?
Thanks, Christina. So when I first started at Trinity College as an undergrad, the reason why I wanted to go to school was because I wanted to work for the Wadsworth Athenaeum, one of the oldest, if the oldest, art museums in the nation. Because I never saw myself represented there or my community there. So it was a safe haven for me, and I wanted it to be a safe haven for other folks. So that's, representation was one of the reasons why I decided to go back to school. Then when I got my undergrad, I decided, oh, you know what? I want to be a teacher. So I went out and teached, did a lot of community work. And then as I started doing my master's in American Studies, I did a concentration in museums and communities again, because I said I want to go back to work in a museum because I want representation there. Having worked with Multicultural Affairs for over 12 years, it was important for me to go back to that. So during my graduate studies, that's where this came to birth. It was my senior project, which should have actually been a senior thesis, because it is huge, if you have not seen it. And it's been picked up by La Plaza Virtual. I don't know if you've seen it online, but it was housed in Trinfo Cafe. So I got a lot of help from Carlos. Oh my God, Carlos was such a great resource to make sure that it got online and that all the recordings were up there. I mean, I spent days and days at Trinfo. Just learning. He taught me how to do all of this, and then spending the time uploading all of the recordings that I had from the field work that I had done, which was extensive. And then I was able to work with a class with Professor Gebline at the time, Hartford. It was called Hartford. Someone still teaches it, something Hartford or other. Mm-hmm. So that class, they helped me get all of the texts. So they went out and we identified the spaces, and then we sent them out into the community. I trained them, introduced them to community members, and they were comfortable going out into spaces and getting historical information from folks. And then they got credit for it as a class. And then we uploaded all of that. And that's how it was pretty much born. It was a labor of love. Mm-hmm. It was more extensive than it was originally supposed to be, because, of course, it was a project. But because it was a labor of love, I wanted it to be done, and I wanted it to be done right. So it really didn't matter to me whether I got credit or not. It was something that... So when I went on vacation, you know how when you go to the hotel and in lobbies, there's these little pamphlets that show you like what's around? Mm-hmm. So we didn't have none of that for the Puerto Rican community in Hartford. Mm-hmm. or for any, like we had the African American Slave History Trail, the Amistad Trail, but we didn't have that. And because Puerto Ricans in Hartford, we are just here, and we're not going anywhere. And we help make Hartford and the greater Hartford community what it is. I felt that, you know what, why not have a pamphlet of a Puerto Rican trail? So if you come to visit the city, you can say, in the lobby, you could look and say, oh, you know what, I'm going to go to the old State House, and this is a quick walk. Frog Hollow is a quick walk from the old State House, and I could get some good food, and I could, like, really be within the community, which is what most people want to see and be, like, you want to be a tourist, but you want to be, like, a real tourist, right? So something like that I figured would help folks that were not within my community be part of my community and feel welcome within the community. And then for people that were within the community feel representative and also feel that it was okay for them to pick up a pamphlet from something else and participate in that. So I ideally saw it like the Wadsworth one, and then the Amistad Trail, and then the Puerto Rican History Trail. So a pamphlet was created, but never was able to get it, you know, published and all of that with the tourists, with the Connecticut tourist stuff, but not because the state or anybody didn't want to, just because I didn't push it anymore. I just stopped. Like I said, it was a labor of love, so it became emotionally taxing because I started to feel that as you guys are doing right now, like a lot of folks come and expect me to give a lot of answers to things that I feel that sometimes I'm just not the one to be representative of it, and that I'm not the only one to be representative of it, which is why you have the trail, which is why I gave you resources that you could go directly to them. I'm not the type of person that likes all of that. I love this type of thing, right, teaching in a classroom, but when it comes to political stuff and utilizing it for that type of stuff, I'm not down with that. You could do what you need to use it for, but because that's why it's out there, but I don't want to participate in that.
Which year was born the Puerto Rican Heritage
Trail? The Puerto Rican Heritage Trail was born, I got my master's in 2009, so 2009 maybe, somewhere in there. And it lived in the Trinfo platform for a long time, and I did not want to look at it. Just like any, like, it was a thesis. It was just like, oh, my God, like, stop asking me questions. Like, I don't know. And if I do, it's like, I don't want to tell you.
How did you go about capturing stories and then presenting them, I'm guessing, in the bilingual sense?
Very difficult.
Yeah.
Still now, it's not completely translated. Mm-hmm. The Spanish class helped me do that. So there's some that are translated and some that are not. So that's when I stopped, and eventually we'll go back and do that. So how I did it was I utilized students, and y'all got credit for it. So you was trying to learn how to speak Spanish, learn how to communicate in Spanish. So I said, hey, profe, can we ask your students to translate this for credit? And she said, yeah, absolutely. And those that volunteered got extra credit for translating some of the stuff. And then the audio, I believe most of the audio is in English and it hasn't been translated.
Okay.
Yeah. And then there's some that if there were in Spanish, I might have made some comments but didn't translate it completely. Mm-hmm. So translation was definitely, it was at the top of my list, but then it fell very quickly, like English dominated. It fell very, very quickly as to what needed to be done.
Is there a reason then why you saw that English dominated, as you were saying, like the project? Was it where the interviewer speaking in English, or how come English became the predominant language?
I haven't really necessarily thought about it. I can only assume now, thinking about it, that it became dominant because that was the language in which I was doing most of my research and reading in. And when I did interview folks, the questions were in English, so they responded in English, unless it was, you know, someone that that was bilingual and preferred Spanish, but I don't recall. I think we did a lot of Spanglish. There might be a lot of Spanglish within, especially with the fire chief and the mayor. I think with Gleisma Perez Silva, she might have a lot of Spanish that has not been translated. If not, maybe her whole interview might be in Spanish, because I think she always preferred to speak in Spanish. So I guess that's the answer.
I would have a few, or like one question more about your field work and like kind of like what that looked like in the research process in general, and when you or any of your students went to interview participants, the type of stories you were looking to gather.
So, Christina, basically what you did is what I did. You know somebody. You know somebody that trusts you, and they hook you up with an interview. Like I said, I wouldn't have done this if it hadn't been Christina that asked me. I've had many students, many professors ask me to come, and I always say no. So Christina, you have a lot of pull, of course, and that makes a difference, right? Because I trust Christina, and I know, okay, I'm not going to go into this classroom and I'm going to be used, and this is going to be used, and then students are not going to do so. I love the project. She was very, very thorough on what the project is, what you guys are looking for, and I said, okay, you know what? I can help here. So if I feel that way, that's where I'll go. So knowing someone, and if you would have referred someone, say someone else in this classroom, say, you know, Christina said that you do this and this, I'd be like, okay, you know what? All right. So when you know someone, which is basically how I got my stuff done. So Gleisma Perez Silva was a mentor of mine, and I told her I'm doing this project. And she said, wonderful, this is great, we need this, you're going to be collecting the histories of Hartford Puerto Ricans, and this is just going to be a great archive. And she knew almost everybody in Hartford, and still knows almost everybody in Hartford. From way before I came here, she would be recruited. Her stuff is online, so you could, her information is online, so you could take a look at it. I don't want to waste too much time talking about that. But she connected me to the Maria Frances Sanchez, the mayor, the deputy mayor of Hartford back in 90-something, to Eddie Perez, to the Hartford fire marshal, to like everybody who knows everybody, teachers, professors, like all of that. She connected me to them, because what I was collecting was their memories, right, of spaces within Hartford that made a difference, because I didn't want to be the one choosing the spaces. Although I know what I wanted, but I wanted the Hartford community. And not just, you know, politically, but teachers, your parents. So I went to the schools and I asked parents what spaces. I asked kids what spaces were important to them, because I had access to the school system at that time. So that's pretty much how that happened. Did I answer your question?
Were there spaces of that surprised you? Because I know you said you have the history and you had yours in mind. And I'm sure when you talk to people, a lot of them were affirmative. But were any of them shocking, different?
Oh, my God, yes. So because of the generation that I came in the 80s, so it was like maybe the second or third wave of Puerto Ricans coming in to the city of Hartford by that time. So there was already movement within the neighborhoods that I didn't know about. I thought Puerto Ricans were always all over there near Parkville, because when I came in, I lived right off of Sisson Avenue, and there were a lot of Puerto Ricans there on Park Street, all of that. I didn't know that Puerto Ricans lived in the North End of Hartford, and that we started living in the North End of Hartford, and that the Puerto Rican Parade started in the North End of Hartford. And that really, really, really surprised me, because the way that the city was sold, or the way city is sold, or the way city is viewed, is like, that's the North End, that's like the Caribbean side, that's the black side of town. No, that's actually all of our side of town. There was Jewish people out there. There was German people out there. It's just like it just switched and changed. But that very much surprised me, that there was a very, very robust Puerto Rican community in the north and before we were displaced and moved out into the Frog Hollow area. I got a little animated because I was excited for that, to know that.
I was wondering if you have any memory or memories that stand out to you from the process of collecting, like any certain bits and pieces of stories or certain feelings you felt.
Yeah. Losada Park. Julio Losada. That took me almost 3 weeks to complete, if not longer. I don't even remember how long. It seems like it was just so long. It was so much research that I did to find out to get the full picture of what happened to him and to the community. And I was blessed to be able to interview his sister. The family hadn't done interviews. They really didn't want to talk about it anymore, because it was a very big political explosion within the city of Hartford that changed the way the fire department operated, and we had to hire people that spoke Spanish so that tragedies like this didn't happen anymore. So, but it took its toll on the family because the family was put in the forefront of political action and all of that. So they, at one point they just said, you know, we're not going to do that. But I was blessed. And I'm going to tell you how, when I was talking about networking and knowing people, I was blessed because Tara Osorio was a student at Trinity College that I mentored. Mm. And he was her uncle. And she was able to get me the interview with her aunt. Yep. So, yeah, it was very emotional for them and for me. And, you know, afterwards they have asked me to write a book about it, but I just can't right now. I will probably before I die. Because Julio deserves a children's book about him, so.
And when you bring up Trinity and your experience with Trinity growing up in the area, and then locating that into our project with understanding Frog Hollow and how space is very contentious, would you feel comfortable maybe sharing some of your thoughts on the relationship, if there one exists, between Trinity and the neighborhood, or at least how you see things?
Oh my goodness. I gotta remember this being recorded.
You can pause the recording if you'd want.
No, that's fine. So I'm going to give you two perspectives. The perspective of a 23-year-old Carroll community member, two kids, welfare mother, accepted into Trinity College from Capital Community College, transferred in perspective. I had no fucking idea where Trinity College was or what it was or whatever. I just know that my counselor said, you're good. Mm-hmm. You're so good that we want you to apply to this college. Mm-hmm. I live right on Summit, right on Park Terrace, right in front of Pope Park. Mm-hmm. So that tells you the relationship Trinity has with the community. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
So I walked, or had at that time, it might not be the same now. I walked almost every day from my house to class. I was an older student, IDP student. Sometimes I would bring my kids to class, so sometimes y'all would be like, who the hell is this person? But afterwards, you know, we warmed up. And then they saw me as someone that lived in the community, and they would want to, like, professors and other classmates and students would come over and come out, and, like, I'll show them a little bit of Hartford and being part of the community, so... But, you know, I was pretty much, I felt that not everyone was getting that because Trinity is still so. We've done much better. over the years we've gotten better. And I, as the director of multicultural affairs now, but over the years for about maybe 17 years, I've been conducting the Hartford tours for promoting respect, inclusive diversity in education, Pride Leaders, and Welcome Weekend. And I also do the Hartford tours, or used to do the Hartford tours for orientation students. I used to run like maybe 6 tours for all freshmen coming in so that they would get to know the area. So we tried, right? Trinity tries. Class issues and, you know, all of that other shit comes into it. But for the most part, I think that the community and Trinity, we coexist, and we coexist fairly nicely, considering other spaces in which I've been. We're not the best, but we're not the worst. I think we could be better. But also the community has to be open as well. And because of the past relationship Trinity has had with the community is skeptical, or can be skeptical. Trinity pretty much has bought up the whole entire blocks around within Frog Hollow, and then you have, you know, the fraternities and sororities buying up the houses up and down Allen. And how connected are they to the community? Because they are private homes. So are they more connected to Trinity, or are they connected to community? Like, what things are in place, or what things can be put in place so that those spaces can be seen as both? Like, I could see that as a bridge, you know what I'm saying? But we don't have like a planning person for that. So it would have to organically happen. But I do feel very sad, I'm not gonna lie, when it's party time and I walk up, and when I drive up Allen sometimes and I see, you know, students having fun, which I want students to have fun, but it's like y'all leaving your messes, your red cups, and it's like, that's not cool. Like, you don't see that. I mean, you see garbage sometimes, but we've done cleanups this year. So Trimfo and the community service office in Alma, we're working on getting more students involved in not only cleanups, but in getting to the gardens and doing some gardening. And this way we can make more connections with the community, but being intentional. And what I always say is that, you know, one thing that I've heard other professors or other folks say, Trinity is a good laboratory for you to learn everything that you need to learn. Fuck that. Trinity is not your laboratory. I'm sorry. It is not. You're going to give and you're going to get. If you don't give, what you get is not going to be good. And I say that wholeheartedly, because Hartford, you know, when I migrated, I came in as a 14-year-old with a baby. And I got a master's degree from Trinity College. And it's from community. It's Hartford community that put me through. Everybody just being so proud of having a Latina at Trinity. You know, they helped, they babysat, and they did everything. So, and that helped me create this trail, which is why it was emotional.
How did your understanding of Frog Hollow and yourself as a Puerto Rican in Frog Hollow change throughout the process of making the trail?
I think it didn't change. It just made me realize that I had more of a dual existence. I was part of the community, but I was also someone who, because I wasn't necessarily living in Hartford, I was working in Hartford at the time, so I was kind of an outsider still peeking in, but still part of the community, if that makes sense. So sometimes I saw myself as that person that was making decisions for a community based on information that I was receiving from the community. And sometimes I felt like the community and imparting the information.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a hard living for that while. That's why I think I was like, I don't want to see that again. Yeah, it's like a lot of code switching as well.
Yeah.
A lot of code switching. A lot of code switching.
You talk a lot about representation, right? Like how the Puerto Rican Heritage Trail was a project of representation. So what would you say is the representation that you managed to create with that public archive?
I managed to capture a time in history with the voices of the people that were living it, either at the time or knew of the time. Mm-hmm. As a historian, because I am a historian, that was the most important thing to me, was to capture that moment in time, because I knew that Park Street, and I knew that the Puerto Rican community was going to be dispersed, and we weren't going to be as we were at that time, and we're not. Mm-hmm. So I was able to capture that. I was able to capture the movement. Mm-hmm. Now I haven't captured the disbursement. That's up to the next generation, so meaning y'all. So that's what I think I was able to accomplish. Mm-hmm. And then in the meantime, you know, teaching and learning. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Yeah, that's super interesting. So you were trying to create like this time capsule for the future generations.
Mm-hmm. Particularly for my kids, for my biological kids. Mm-hmm. Like really, that's really who it was for. Mm-hmm.
So I have two questions. One is, what were the forces that were like changing the community in that specific moment? And then I'll go to my second question.
More immigrants coming in, mm-hmm, from other places, from Spanish-speaking places, seeking support within the Spanish-speaking community, which was the Frog Hollow community and South End, and over here in Parkville area too. There's a lot of Brazilian Portuguese over there too. Rent. Affordable rent. So as Puerto Ricans get more stable jobs, make a little bit more money, or get Section 8, very, very important. When Walmart, the Walmart that we absolutely love to go to, mm-hmm, that used to be a project, mm-hmm, housing projects. So all those folks, they got Section 8 certificates, and they moved out anywhere they wanted within Connecticut, Manchester, Rockville. Puerto Ricans community, Puerto Rican black community mostly, got those certificates and moved out and started integrating these mostly white areas if they were able to find housing. So the immigrants that were coming in, Salvadorians, Haitians, Mexicans, more Mexicans, and now more representative of what Park Street is now. Mm. Or at least that's how I see it, yeah, how I saw it.
No, I just didn't know about the Section 8 thing. Okay. Yeah.
I think the idea that we have is to incorporate the Puerto Rican Heritage Trail in the Frog Hollow walking tour script that we were building. And so I have some technical questions, but if you would sell us, like in a blurb, what the Puerto Rican Heritage Trail is, what would be that? Like, what would be your blurb? Like, what can you find there? How is it dissected? How can you navigate it?
I think there's actually a really nice blurb on, did you look at La Plaza? Mm-hmm. It's on there already, the trail. And they say the Puerto Rican Heritage Trail encompasses, I think it says encompasses something or other. I don't know if I could, it would take me a minute to give you a blurb.
Like, okay, but what would be your description, like, to a general, like?
The Puerto Rican Heritage Trail is a glimpse into Puerto Rican community, past and present,
mm-hmm.
that will help you understand the city of Hartford, the space within the city of Hartford. I think that would be it.
That makes sense. That would be in the year of 2009, in the period of 2009 to 2012,
maybe?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Somewhere in there.
When it comes to looking at like these community spaces and you talk about how central location is important, another aspect of that I think of is that of religion. I was wondering if you came into any instances of specific churches. I know there's large ones. I know there's also the very prominent small, like people have called them one room, one house churches. Could you maybe speak to if you interacted at all with that scene or how that plays a factor in it?
Yes, plays a large factor. The Catholic and really pretty much mostly Catholic,
mm-hmm.
and then maybe a sprinkle of Pentecostal,
mm-hmm.
And then Santeria, what we would
mm-hmm.
call Santeria,
yep.
mm-hmm.
and there are other Jehovah's Witnesses, and there are other religions, but the dominant one was Catholic,
mm-hmm.
and the Puerto Rican community really built itself up with the help and the resources of the Catholic Church. Whether or not Puerto Ricans were completely, fully Catholic, it really didn't matter so much, although historically Puerto Ricans are Catholic,
mm-hmm.
or most tend to be Catholic. But the church was open to everyone no matter what. So the church Sacred Heart on the north end right now, which is being sold by the Archdiocese because of the gentrification that's happening over there, the baseball field and all that. So all of that is being sold off. So that church definitely and still does have a lot of fond memories for the Puerto Rican community. And then when we move down towards Frog Hollow, if you just walk down Park Street from, say, Broad Street, to Main Street,
mm-hmm.
you encounter three Catholic churches.
Mm-hmm.
They might not be operational now, but they were,
mm-hmm.
and they were booming. They're all consolidated now within one,
mm-hmm.
and then there's another one down on Our Lady of Sorrows.
Mm-hmm.
And then also within a maybe 2 or 3 block radius, you have 2 botanicas.
Mm-hmm.
Botanicas are where Santeria, they pick up products. So, and then there's the Muslim mosque
mm-hmm.
on Hungerford.
Mm-hmm.
So religion plays a lot within the community and the role in which, where the community is going to move.
Mm-hmm. I'll say off of that, did you ever see, because I know Santeria is probably the biggest diaspora of religion that we see in Hartford. Did you ever see that intersecting with Catholicism, or how did that, like those two identities, because I know a lot of people will say they're both, because they very much can be. Did you see that play out? Did you see that locally?
Yes, full disclosure, I am a Yang, so I am a Santeria follower, so I am not completely crowned, but have my LAKS.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, I've seen it, and yes, it crosses, and some folks hide it more than others.
Mm-hmm.
It's much more open and accepted now.
Mm-hmm.
But the community, the Santeria community, used to be very small,
mm-hmm.
and we had one Botanica Chango on Park Street that we all went to for at least 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then so now there's two on Park Street and one up in on Parkville. So there are more and more practitioners. And yeah, we go to Mass.
Yeah.
We go to Mass and we go to church services. I mean, it's mm-hmm. There's no real like line
mm-hmm.
wherever we're accepted, and you're accepted to come to ours, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Did you? Because I know a lot of it, because there is that tie to the land. Did you ever see that? Were there specific areas where there was a lot of practice being held, or was it more of necessity and convenience of where practice would be observed?
It's wherever the priests
mm-hmm.
live.
Okay.
Basically.
Yeah.
So Hartford right now, there might be a smaller community, but it's much more in New Britain
okay.
at the moment. Like a lot of folks go to New Britain for the services.
Mm-hmm.
They come to Hartford for the products.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
They go to New Britain or they go to Rockville.
Mm-hmm.
And Rockville's pretty white, y'all.
Mm-hmm.
Vernon Rockville, y'all like that shit over there.
What are some important places in Frog Hollow for you, like important places and moments or people, since you're a community member?
Oh my God, my favorite place, my favorite place on Park Street since the moment I came to Hartford and was able to get there was the Hartford Public Library
mm-hmm.
on Barber Street, right across from the Mercado, which is now beautiful right on Broad Street.
Yeah.
Please visit it. Please go volunteer or read to a child. It's so very important. Yeah, so the library opens so many doors and so many, and it's always just so welcoming. And I was a single mother with a baby, and I would go almost every other day to the library to utilize the resources. And so, yeah, most favorite place in the world. Libraries are the most favorite place in the world, but that definitely has a place more help me get the education I'm getting to, like, become curious and
mm-hmm.
continue, like, feel like I could be part of something bigger.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like a lot of other Frog Hollow community members react in the same way that you did to the library?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's why we have such a beautiful one now, right?
Yeah.
On Broad.
Yeah.
Oh, honey, that's taken us almost 20 years to get, but we wasn't gonna stop. You know, the community definitely
mm-hmm.
knows how important
mm-hmm.
it is to have that space where community could come
mm-hmm.
to dream, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What is your experience with having created this public archive of kind of like a popular public archive?
What is my experience?
Yeah, like the afterwards experience, like what have you learned from that process?
I'm proud of it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very proud of it. When people see it or mention it to me, it makes me proud. It also imposter syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
It just feels that way sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
I want my fucking kids to read it.
Mm-hmm.
It was for them.
Mm-hmm.
They have not read it. Like, they haven't. They say, hey, Mom, you know, it's great, you know. But I don't think none of them has actually sat down to see. Like, I'll tell them, someone contact me months ago to tell me, hey, you know what, it's on this platform, you need to get it copyrighted.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have nothing copyrighted, y'all, like,
mm-hmm.
it's out there. And when I saw the platform, I was just like, holy shit, like, this is actually good. And somebody actually thinks it's good. Mm-hmm. So that's my experience with mm-hmm. it. Mm-hmm. I hope that one over there, my granddaughter, finds some use of it.
Mm-hmm. What are the most memorable uses that you have heard the archive has had?
Student research. Mm-hmm. And being like condensing all of the information so they don't have to go.
It's like, wait,
oh, that's actually so awful.
I find it hilarious. I love it. I wish it, when I was a student, I could have found an archive like that, which I did within the Hartford Public Library, Hartford History Center. It just wasn't as organized. Uh-huh. Like, I had to go find it. But yeah, so I would say.
I like that. yeah, go ahead.
What are your hopes for the archive? Like, if you could have, like, open it up again, work on it, develop it some more, what are the changes that you would make, and kind of like, how do you see it developing in the future if like somebody was to work on it?
I would get everything translated. Mm-hmm. That would be the first thing I would work on. I would not try to add any content or try to edit anything or nothing, because it will take me down a rabbit hole so far that I wouldn't be able to translate. Mm-hmm. So get it all translated. Or find someone to help me translate it, because if I start reading it, I'm going to try to get down that rabbit hole. I would like the audio to be enhanced so that it can be heard a little bit better. I'm not sure if that could be possible. I don't even know where the original tapes are. I was so disgusted at one point that I just tired. I just put everything in a box, and I have no idea where it is. So maybe enhancing some of those recordings. Going back to those folks mm-hmm. and asking them how they feel now. Mm-hmm. Video, though. Mm-hmm. So, 'cause now we're much more visual. Mm-hmm. So making it so that you could click on it and you could see, like, one of y'all interviewing. Mm-hmm. And an app. So that when I come or I land into Bradley International Airport, it says, like, hey, welcome to Hartford. If you would like, these are the trails that are available, and a list of all of the trails. And I'd be like, oh, this is cool. I'm going over to Trinity College. Maybe, no, Parents Weekend. Maybe I just want to hang out in Hartford with my kids. Oh, look at this, a nice restaurant over here. Maybe I'll take my kids to this restaurant, like that type of shit. Yeah. Or St. Joe or any other, UConn or any other parent.
So I know a version that is linked to an instituto at UConn, right? That's the version I know.
Okay, there are a lot of, I have no, like, it, esto se fue, like, yo no sé.
Okay, because I was surprised about this other version that you
la
were
plaza,
talking.
La,
yeah, so that's the,
la
that's
plaza
the
virtual.
Main one.
La plaza virtual
that's
is where.
That's the one that you would say is the original.
No, the original is the one that's okay. on Carlos's platform.
Uh-huh. And so Carlos has access to...
I hope so. I know he told me that something had happened and he was looking for it and something. Shit, but at that point, I didn't...
So the main archive, the main digital archive is at Trinfo.
I believe...
And Carlos has access.
I believe so. And if he does it, he knows, or Professora Ponte knows where it's at. Because they all worked on it as well.
Okay.
But La Plaza Virtual or something or other, Latinos, y'all need to take a look at that. I was impressed with what they enhanced uh-huh. it. Like, they have actually virtual maps where you could, yeah. Okay. Yeah, so this is why they were saying, that's my friend was like, you need to get this copyrighted, because they credited me. Yeah.
Okay, you're credited.
They credited me, but it was like, you don't know where your stuff is, and then people could just be taking your stuff. So I was like, you know, as long as they're using it for what the purpose, like, I don't care. Like, this is beautiful, so take a look at it mm-hmm. when you get a chance. Okay. Just do the search, Google search, Hartford Puerto Rican Heritage Trail in it. And that's probably the first one that comes up. Carlos's is not the first one that comes up.
Yeah, because the one I saw is at El Instituto UConn's page. and it opens kind of a PDF with images and brief descriptions, but it's not interactive. The one that you were mentioning is
it's
very
bastante,
interactive.
It's bastante interactive.
Okay.
I think it is, yeah.
Okay.
Check out maps.
You should like research it again and look up your own project just to like see all the stuff that's out there, because I bet there's like so much more content. Like people have probably used it for, you know, something good.
They probably have, but I'm not going to research it.
I guess I would just want to know.
Thank
you.
Back.
You can though. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are there any other questions?
I know Christina gave like a very good description of the project. When what we're doing in with the like roots you have and all of that, is there something you think we should be exploring elsewhere? Is there something you think we might be leaving out? Or what would you maybe impart on we as a group should go look at this? If anything.
I think you guys have it pretty much covered. If there's anything that you think you might be, or that I could help with, definitely you reach out. One thing that I would recommend is that you go as a group to the new Semilla Cafe on Main Street. That's grassroots. And the folks there could really give you some what's happening in that area now.
In that area or in that business?
In the, of course, the business, but the neighborhood, because they're community based, I believe. Semilla Cafe.
So one of our lines or routes is about community spaces. So
that
you
would
definitely recommend that we should add Semilla to. And I've been hearing about Semilla all these past 2 weeks. Everybody's saying, you have to go to Semilla.
It just
you have
opened.
To go to Semilla. It's like, I haven't been there, but okay.
It just, opened. It just opened. And if you can, you should speak to Luis Cotto. He's not in Hartford anymore. He's in Boston. But if you could get a hold of Cotto, he would be someone to really talk to about like community, and he was a council member for Hartford for a very long time. He was the one mentor of mine, hooked me up, community college, hooked me up for Charter Oak Cultural Center, so grassroots community, and I know that he has to have some hand in Semilla. That's what I'm saying, especially in the North End, because he's from the North End.
Okay.
And if you need any help connecting, or if we have time, I'm not sure if we have time for that, if you guys have time for that or not.
Maybe, we'll see, but if we can connect him, yeah, we'll ask you to.
Chair it,
yeah.
Thank you.
Thank y'all.
Okay, is there another question?
Thank you.
Thank you.
I appreciate you.
One last question. Can we take a picture of you? But maybe outside without the mask. Maybe of all of us. What about
sure.
if we take it collectively?
Why not?
Thank you. Let's go outside so we can take off our mask, and then I'll take my
phone. Whose phone is this one? Yours, Christina?
Oh, no. It's, I think, Camila's.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
okay. You can see you, baby.
How you doing, Amani Boo? You want to come take a picture with us?
That'd be cool.
Make me look prettier. Thanks.
Did somebody say you want to come on? Yeah, you should come
Yay.
On. Photograph. Lean.
Thank
and then
you.
I can take one in which you are.